Hey there, this is BZ Collins, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
So I see you've all met.
What's this all about, Dom?
Yeah, man, why'd you drag us halfway around the world?
Because we got a job.
That's a stealth mission. We'll be in and out before they even know we were there.
We're talking about breaking into a police station.
This is crazy.
This is $100 million.
You say what?
I'm down.
Is all of this really necessary to apprehend two men?
One's a former federal officer, spent 5 years in deep cover. The other one's a professional criminal. Escaped prison twice. We find him, we take him as a team, and we bring him back. And above all else, we don't ever, ever let them get into cars.
Only live once. Let's do it.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am, of course, TF Joe and Mike, joining me once again in this... What's a thist? Wow, I cannot talk on these podcasts anymore, folks. I might as well retire. Holy crap. Old and busted. There ain't no new hotness around here anymore, folks. Anyway, joining me in this Fast Saga 11-episode arc once again is my buddy, a.k.a. Bleh. God damn it. Take two. Joining me once again here in this Fast Saga 11-episode arc is my good old buddy, Sean, a.k.a. Old Schools. Hello, sir. How are you? As you can clearly tell, I'm not doing so well.
I was going to say, what's crack-a-lackin', but
not you. Yeah. Snap, crackle, and popping off lockin'. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Today, we head back to the Fast Saga with Fast Five. It was Friday, April 29th, 2011. I remember it like it was yesterday, even though the Wikipedia article is in front of me, and I looked at it before this, even though I'm still looking at the script for the podcast. I'm not looking at the Wikipedia article currently, but I remember this like it was yesterday, and I actually had to do some other information because, oh boy, we're going to get into some Louisville, Kentucky background here, folks, because I thought I was at a certain movie theater when this film came out. I wasn't. I was at a completely different one because by 2011... Unfortunately, after almost 40 years, they trashed the good one. But yeah, Friday, April 29th. That's the cool thing about the Fast films. They've kind of always been like the precursor to the summer blockbuster. And then after this film, they kind of turned into super summer blockbusters because they went from street racing films to heist films starting with this. And that history that I was mentioning... that I was trying to remember, because I do, there's a question later, folks, as you all know, if you've listened to Studio 2009 in the past, that what we asked, have we seen this film in theaters? I was at Baxter Avenue Theaters when I saw this, because Showcase had already been torn down in 2004 by this time.
Yeah.
God damn it. It's been 11... No, it's been, oh God, it's been 21 years since they tore down the Showcase Cinemas on Bardstown Road in Louisville, Kentucky. Oh my God. And what's there now, folks? Ugh.
What is there now?
Costco. I think it's a Costco, or at least part of it's a Costco.
Is it Costco? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure part of it's a Costco. Yeah.
It used to be a big parking lot for Ford truck plant.
Yeah, it was a giant parking lot for a long time. They never figured out what they were going to do with it. I had pulled up an old article on WDRB, Fox 41 in Louisville. This was from November 10th, 2014. The empty lot that used to house Showcase Cinemas on Bardstown Road was sold for $3.3 million in September of 2013. No, September 2014. $3.3 million for a parking lot. Now, I know technically that's real estate. Technically, that's land. It's more so land than just cement, but, you know, whatever.
Reminds me of that song from Black Crow. Maybe not Black Crow, but they sold up the parking lot or something. What is
Was it black? I don't remember. So yeah, at the time when this article was written, 20-acre site at 3406 to 348 Bardstown Road, the plans were unknown. The people that bought it was two people that owned. You're gonna love this. This company. I'm surprised you're not in. Yeah, I'm surprised you weren't in on this. Playa Plaza LLC. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I own part of that company and I thought about it for a while. But I decided to get out. I got out while the getting was good. So, yeah. So it's not Playa Playa. It's just Playa.
it's Playa Plaza. It's like, oh so look, my God.
I'm going to start this thing off with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an interesting trivia question for you.
Okay.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're so knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of this film, what were they doing?
Beginning of the film, what were they doing? They were breaking him out.
Right.
They basically continued from the last film.
Right. Okay. Yep. So what I want to ask you is, who was in the third car? Think about it.
Hmm.
I don't recall.
No, I don't recall either.
Because they never show them.
Yeah, they never show it. Wait, hold on.
I mean, that has been driving me crazy since I rewatched it. And I thought, you know what? Who is the third driver in this? The only thing we really saw were Brian and Mia.
Yeah.
But they didn't show who was in the third car.
So,
and with the movie taking the way it went,
yeah,
who would have been the third person? I mean, because all the other parties were off doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to think about.
So who is it? Who's at the end of the fourth film? Who's at the end of the last movie? Who was going to get it? Who was going to get Dom? It was Brian and Mia. Was it Han? No, it was Brian, Mia, and I was gonna say Giselle, but it's
She died, didn't she?
No, she didn't.
Or she dies later.
Yeah, she dies later, unfortunately.
Okay. But Han already took off. Han, because in the movie, remember, he says, "I don't know. I hear Tokyo's real good about this time."
Yeah, but Han and Giselle are in this, though. Because that's the switch.
But what I'm saying is, Han left at the end of the movie to go check out Tokyo. Then
right.
They recall him to come back when they're going to do this big job. So
right.
It wasn't Han.
Okay, so if it wasn't... Oh, wait. It was Roman, wasn't it? No. Wait a minute.
No.
God, now I'm like, oh, I gotta stop the entire podcast and go rewatch the first 5 minutes of the movie. Because God, how do I not
until you're blue in the face?
I literally just watched this. I literally just watched this 8 hours before we
did. Show, Mike. They didn't show. So it wasn't that important. They just showed that there was a third person, but who it was not important according to the directors.
I guess not, because we know it's not Tej, because Tej doesn't drive.
Right.
He absolutely has to. Oh, wait. Is it Vince?
No.
Yeah, it's Vince.
Okay. I never saw him in it, and Vince didn't come in until later in the movie.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Now I'm, oh man, you got my old man brain just frying eggs over here. The problem
is Vince didn't come into the movie until
that's right,
the first fourth of the way, and it was more of an introduction then.
Yeah. So yeah, Dom, Brian, and Mia are framed as the murderers. So it only actually shows Dom, Brian, and okay. So then, wait a minute. Oh man,
I'm telling you, it's a stumper. It's been driving me crazy since I rewatched it.
I'm going to edit all of this. I don't give a shit. I'm going back and I'm watching this because I have to watch this to figure this shit out. This is going to drive me crazy. It really is going.
Maybe I shouldn't ask that question.
No. It's good that you asked because I need to now know because now I want to make sure we are factually accurate.
This is all the aftermath of a daring daylight breakout. There were 26 high-risk inmates.
Everyone on board has been accounted for, except for one, Dominic Toretto.
Just released the identity of the man they believe to have orchestrated the shocking escape that amazingly resulted in no fatalities this afternoon. He is former federal agent Brian O'Connor.
A fierce manhunt is underway for three fugitives tonight. Multiple federal and local agencies have joined forces in the search for Dominic Toretto and his accomplices Brian O'Connor and Mia Toretto.
But despite every eye in the country looking for them, where Toretto and O'Connor are now is anyone's guess.
This is your brain. This is your brain on Fast Five. Any questions?
Obviously, you see what it did to me. And the thing about this series, in all the movies, they have done a wonderful job about placement of actors and the storyline. So why drop the ball there?
All right. So I've got the sound off because we don't need the sound. We got three cars.
Yes.
That are approaching the bus.
Right.
All right. So we got Brian, Mia, and who's in the Charger? They show that Charger
Charger.
Oh, is he? Okay, I thought he was in one of the other. I thought he was in one of his.
Brian's in the Charger. Mia's in the little black slant nose.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, who the hell is the other driver? Yeah, no, that's not. No. You are talking about the bus escape, right? You're not talking about the train sequence, right? You're talking about the bus.
No.
It only shows him and her. So who really? The hell was
I'm saying who was in the third car.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like I'm watching it again. I'm going back a second time okay, here, folks.
A third car, correct?
Yes. Okay. I'm going back a second time to make sure that, and this is a wonderful. My buddy Joe Reed would be so enamored that we're doing this behind the scenes stuff. And actually, I'm probably not going to cut any of this bullshit right now. All right. So we got the logos. Come on. Original film. Yeah. Come on. Let's go. All right. So we get the sentence. We see Dom is in court. We get, you know, life, 25 to life. Brian and Mia are there.
Yep.
In the courtroom. We get him walking to the bus. Okay. Yep. The bus is traveling down this road.
Yep.
All right. He's in the bus. We see the long shot of the bus going down the road. We see three cars.
Bingo.
We see three cars. The Charger pulls out from the middle.
Which is Brian.
Yeah, it shows the two of them, but it does not show you. Yeah, it does not show you who
he was just traffic on the street at that time.
Oh no, those three cars look awfully
and they're
close
all black
together. Yeah, they're all black. They're awfully close together. Like if that car was just on the other side of the street and it was like they were going to rush towards it, but those cars are in line with each other.
Yeah.
That's not no. So I don't know who the third driver was. Maybe that's
exactly.
That's That's a puzzler right there. I have no idea.
That was my biggest issue with that.
Out of the entire film, you want to know who the third driver was?
Yeah, it drives me crazy, but I mean, you know, they've done everything in threes. When they are ripping everybody off the truckers, they did in three Hondas. Yep. You know, just about everything they do is in three cars.
Yeah.
So here's your three cars, but who is in the Trans Am?
I don't know.
They never showed.
They never showed
it. Wow, you all really dropped the ball on that one.
I never thought to look at it because my thought was that, okay, it's you know what I would love to think, and I don't think this is a thing because I don't remember if Leon ever comes back, but I would love to think that it would have been Leon because I don't think we ever see Leon ever again. Leon never dies, to my knowledge. But we only ever see Leon in the first film, in the 2001 film. I don't think he. I'll look his character up during the ad break or something later on in the podcast. But
he never came back.
Okay, that's what I thought. Like, I would like to think that, but I don't think that's true. I don't know, man. That's weird. That they didn't.
Okay, now that I stumped you.
Show, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so they break Dom out of prison. They go to, they end up in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian and Mia end up in Rio together. They're waiting on, so they separated. So Dom went somewhere. It doesn't say where he went. Maybe that's, interesting. Considering that's where Tokyo Drift fits in after 6, maybe Dom went to Tokyo. Maybe that's why. Or did they say in this? I forget where they said he was. They said he was somewhere, I think. I don't remember if I wrote it down. But yeah, so me and Brian are in Rio. Dom eventually shows up. They join Vince because Vince has a job. Vince now has a wife and a family and all that. But, you know, Vince wants to eat dinner before saying grace and all that good stuff and everything else. And he didn't really get all the details of the job before he wanted to pull it. Oh, right. Like, Vince is stuck in 2001 days. Vince doesn't realize this isn't about the cars. So, yeah. So this is the big train. Oh, man. Did you see this in theaters in 2011 when it came out?
No. I don't ever go to theaters. Remember?
Oh, I know, but man, it was like at the time, it made me go back up until I saw the next three movies in theaters. Okay, including this movie, 5, 6, and 7 I saw in theaters. After 7, I didn't go back after that, and I will explain why that is when we get to the Furious 7 review. But 5, 6, and 7, I saw them all in theaters because I had to see them in theaters. I had to have that experience because after seeing this in theaters, I was like, oh my God, so good. and I've been, I've mentioned this on this podcast before. I've been a theater kid as far as going to see movies at the movie theater. Now for me, I don't go for the matinee, or I don't go for the evening shows where everybody in their, you know, 5 year old is going to show up. I'll go for a mat. I'll go at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when there's nobody there. So I essentially have the entire movie theater to myself, and I'll just sit there by myself. I don't even have to go with people. Sometimes my mom and I would go together. Sometimes whichever girlfriend I was with at the time, we would go together or whatever. But like, I would always love going to the movies by myself because it was just an escape, and it was so good. And watching this film in the theater was so good. Everything you love about this film, imagine it on a 80-foot screen. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can fit an 80-foot screen in your house, that would be perfect.
They're doing 80 inches now, easy. So
yeah, I know. I mean, I've got a 55-inch screen, but no, man, just everything about this movie. So they do the job, and Dom does show up, and there's still obviously the tension between Brian and...
Oh, yeah. That's clearly shown.
Yeah. But again, this is technically, yeah, 2011, 2000. This has been a decade. Kind of, sort of, whatever. But 2001 to 2011 is essentially 10 years. Mm-hmm. Between the first film and this film, and this is the first film that Matt Schultz's character of Vince has been back.
Yeah,
it's like nothing has changed. And that's great. That's a testament to the writing. That's a testament to the directing. That's a testament to the actors portraying these characters. It's so good.
Yeah.
And then you get Mia trying to split them up, and you get Dom being the dad and being like, knock it off.
See, the first thing that did to me was remind me of the kitchen scene back in the first.
Yep.
Where, you know, she's like, hey, Vince, you remember that nice restaurant you wanted to take me to?
Yep. Right, well, you Brian. Can take me there. Take
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and look at them now. They're still together, and of course, Mia's pregnant. Nobody knows that at this point in time.
Nobody knows that at this point in time.
Right.
But yeah, Mia's pregnant.
Because Vince's girlfriend knew.
Well, Vince's girlfriend knew is because obviously Vince's girlfriend had a kid, but
and she's a female. Yeah. Females know all kinds of stuff about each other.
Yeah.
They can take one look at him and say, oh yeah, I had that experience too. Yeah. With guys, it's like, what's up?
not always, but
yeah.
Yeah, generally, but not always. Yeah. Sometimes, anyway. But yeah, so they are basically framed for the murders that happened on the train that they did not clearly do.
Of the DEA agents.
Of the DEA agents that they steal the cars from, because it's a DEA controlled train, which they did not know at the time either. And
which was also in the process of being stolen by Reyes at the same time.
Yep. Reyes's men show up, and for half of a second, and all day today, as we're recording this, and folks, as I've said before in these recordings, you're going to hear these episodes way, way later by the time we're recording this. We're recording this in the beginning of March 2025, but you're going to hear it probably sometime
next year because Mike's.
No. Stop it. Don't even shut your mouth. You're going to hear it sometime in early summer of 2025. But it's one of those things where the whole time I was watching this movie, I kept thinking the guy, Reyes's second in command, ZZ, which I keep wanting, for some stupid reason, I'm like, ZD? Is he eating spaghetti over there? That guy, plays Reyes's right-hand man, ZZ, Michael Irby. I thought for, like, the whole time I'm like, wait a minute, I thought we killed Campos. I thought we killed Braga. I thought Braga came back to life. I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, that's not the same guy. It's not the same actor. I understand that. I know that. But like, it was just like, so you've had this sometimes, and I have it all the time. You ever just see somebody and you know them from somewhere? When you look them up, you're like, holy crap, this is the only thing I've ever seen them in, or this is the only thing that. But like, he just has one of those faces where it's like. Yeah.
I did that with two people, and it'll blow you away. First of all, it was Cole Hauser, okay? And then, of all things, I knew him. This is a separate actor. Mm-hmm. He was Tom Cruise's opposite in Days of Thunder. This time, come to find out, he is in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Michael Rooker.
Yep. No way. I thought, no way is that Rowdy from.
Yep. Yep.
I was just stunned. Like, oh my God, that's Rowdy.
Yep.
Played such a serious role. So yeah, I know what you're talking about. With Cole Hauser, I mean, same thing in that one movie of Fast and Furious. Just, he played an awesome, awesome bad guy. And yet, in Yellowstone, he's totally opposite and just one of the coolest actors I've ever watched.
Yep. Speaking of movies that actually have anniversaries this year, it is the 35th anniversary of Days of Thunder this year. Oh, wow. 1990.
Yeah.
Oh boy, the good old days.
When movies were movies.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm still stuck back in the time of like 16 Candles and, you know, just all those movies with Red in it. Oh, God, what's her name?
Molly Ringwald.
Yes. Yes. You know, those were the good old days. That's when, you know, actually Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was the era I kind of came up in. So when I watch it now, it's like, yes.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we're getting way off track, so I'm sure.
No, it's all right. Well, with this being the 35th anniversary of Days of Thunder, next year, 2026, 40th anniversary of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 1986. Oh boy.
It came out the year I graduated.
Yep. So this one, they get framed for the murders, and that train scene. Man, that jump. Oh, yeah. Like that just.
That was crazy.
That was nuts.
And it's just like, no big deal, you know? I mean, he didn't even touch the brakes. Not even. Nope. It's like it was planned that way. And I'm thinking, who in the right mind would do that?
Well, I mean,
you know, I mean, people jump off the damn Golden Gate Bridge and lose their life. This is three times higher than the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking.
In a car that's probably going 100 miles an hour.
I mean, come on now. See, that's, anyway, don't get me started.
Well, I'm just saying, in a car that's probably going 100 miles an hour.
It would be more realistic, though. I'm just saying, can we be more realistic in this? I mean,
no, that's the point. That's exactly the point. You want stuff in these movies that you want to talk about stuff that don't make any sense. Brother, man, these movies are going to go to outer space later. This franchise is not about making stands. How are you going to get a car into space?
I'm sorry, but when that happens, I'm done with this saga. But, I mean, they're already flying in one of the movies. I mean, hell, they jump out of a damn plane in the cars.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's no big deal. Like, I'm on my way to work, boys. See ya.
But that's why I love this franchise, because they show you a world you know you will never have. That's the point of fiction. That's the point of the storytelling, is that this is meant to be like. Okay,
but my mind is, how many takes did it take y'all to land that Jeep on its four wheels. Ruin. You know? I mean, I can't even imagine. There had to have been CGI put into that where it shows they landed right, because every one of those Jeeps, if they tried in real life, would have got destroyed. I mean,
okay, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to some behind-the-scenes stuff here. So this is a little later from the train jump. The rooftop chase across the favelas was filmed in Puerto Rico, where the production could have more control over the area. The main and second filming units began filming in and around the capital, San Juan. The island's mixture of tropical greenery and wide streets allowed the production to recreate the densely populated favela of Rio while completing the larger action and external scenery. But more of it, what I really wanted to actually read wasn't that, it was this. The foot pursuit, in which Diesel, Brewster, and Walker are chased across the favela rooftops by Johnson and his team, was filmed over the course of a week in the small hillside town of Naranjito, Puerto Rico. So that scene where they are where he's chasing them across the rooftops, that scene took a week to film. And that scene's maybe what? 10 minutes or less?
Yeah.
That's amazing to me. That much work for such a little amount of time in a 2-hour movie. That's dedication. I'm not saying that none of the rest of this isn't dedication, but
yeah, but you know what? That's believable.
Yeah, well, yes, that's believable. Totally
can happen.
Yeah, that can. The car stuff though, oh no.
I just think they get a little crazy with that. Anyway,
in the last
podcast I've done with you, mm-hmm. I have complained about that to your listeners, so they're probably gonna be like, Mike, hey, whoever this guy is you got with you doing these podcasts, man, he sure is anal about that. things can happen.
He's a car guy. He wants the things to be real. And my thing is, I'm glad they're not, because they can't be imitatable in real life. The last thing we need is somebody trying to be stupid. The last thing we need is a Pokemon Go moron trying to hang off the cliff to catch something that is fake.
But that's creating the rich YouTubers, the idiots who try to do it.
YouTube ain't falling for that crap anymore.
Well, you know, anyway, I'm not going off on that one. That'd be a rabbit hole I would never return from.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't like going down YouTube.
The thing of it is, I'll start watching YouTube for how to install a set of twinkling lights for a 2020 Dodge Challenger. Three hours later, I'm watching how two giraffes mate. How do you start out from that, ending up in South Africa watching two giraffes bumping uglies? I mean, that's just, it happens every time I get on YouTube. I can't help it.
I don't know. So they take the car, so they take the GT40 apart because they want to figure out what Reyes wants the car for, because he doesn't want it just because it's in the car. Turns out there's a chip in the car that actually houses all of his information about his cash houses.
Yep.
And there are 10 cash houses, and they're going to rob them. They're going to rob them all? No, they're going to set gasoline to one house and then have him, you know, centralize everything. And oh boy, does he centralize his money.
Giant compo station.
Giant safe in a bot police station.
Yes.
Oh man.
Mm-mm-mm. That was good.
Yeah. Very good.
And Reyes is a great villain, period.
He is, very much so.
It seems like most of his roles are of the bad guy. I would say I remember him in Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford. You know, he was even a bad guy in that film.
Nope. Colonel Felix Cortez, 1994.
See, that's where you're great at. You know all these things. I just remember.
I just click names, brother. I just click names.
Don't blame me not knowing that stuff on the extracurriculars that I used to do. Yeah. We'll go with what Nancy Reagan used to always say.
Which was?
This is your brain on drugs.
Yep.
Got two eggs frying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Two eggs frying all the time.
The movie was awesome, outstanding. It was one of the better of the series that at least I thought so. The storyline was incredible. I mean, from start to finish, they couldn't have written a better storyline for that whole movie. I mean, just it had it all.
And this movie is 2 hours and 11 minutes, and it has a pacing of you don't feel like it's 2 hours and 11 minutes.
No, not at all.
It feels like you are transported into the world of the Fast Saga, and you just stay with these characters. Again, you essentially follow Ryan and Mia and Dom as the trio. Dom
you want to stay there.
You have this thing with them, and you have Dom kind of has this side thing with the officer. What's her name?
Pretty Miss Wonder Woman.
What's her name?
No,
Elena Neves, played by Elsa Patake.
The officer, the one whose husband was a cop and died. So you kind of have that thing with her, and that's since you mentioned Giselle Yashar, the character played by Gal Gadot. What was interesting to me is in the last movie they were trying to make her and Dom a thing after Letty died, and it was kind of a thing, but it wasn't really
that actually
a thing.
Started in this movie.
Did it really? No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
The
start of it, yeah. They gave you a little hint when Dom broke into her house to take his necklace back.
No. What I'm saying is, no. Yeah, I switched. Yeah, you're right. The lady police officer, yes, you're correct. What I'm saying is, though, Gail Gadot's character, Giselle, the other character.
Yeah.
When she was in the last film, because she showed up in the last movie because she was part of Raga's crew.
Right.
They tried, after Letty died, to make Giselle and Dom a thing in the fourth movie. It kind of worked, but now in the fifth movie, with Dom doing other stuff, they made her and Han a thing, which I like a heck of a lot better.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me to believe that at some point or another, because characters always come back in movies at some point, you know. But no, my point is that you have Brian, Mia, and Dom as one section of the one set of characters to follow. And then you have Hobbs and his team. So you have two parts to follow. You basically have two sides of the same coin to follow. And that's all you need. There's no fluff. There's no anything else. There's no real super out of left field stuff with this plot. The story flows well. The plot is excellent. It's super fun.
It was so popular that it actually had its own spinoff from the movie of Mr. Hobbs. That's pretty great.
Yeah. Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yep.
And that was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will get to Hobbs and Shaw at some point, but
Well, usually you see those as failures because they tried too hard. But
I think I think the thing is they tried, they were going up until the scene in this movie where, like, because you assume that because Dom is the criminal and Hobbs is the hard nose, oh my God, I'm doing everything for my team and I'm going to get my man and I'm, you know, whatever. You know, ultimate
but it don't
lawman.
Come out that way.
No. I know, but I'm saying, like, because they are cop and criminal, you assume that they are just going to be enemies for the whole time,
right?
And then you get to the point of Hobbs's entire team getting ambushed and killed while they are in custody, while the criminals are in custody, and they're like, "Set it," you know, they're telling Elena, "Unhook us, set us free. We can help. Let us help." And he goes to Hobbs and he says, "Look here, you know, enemy of my enemy, here's my hand. Let me help you." And they become allies. That way later, Hobbs gets the enemy of Declan Shaw, which is Statham. So, oh, it works so well. Absolutely so well. This movie had a budget of $125 million. The final box office total tally was $626.1 million. Holy crap.
Somebody made $500 million.
That's right. Just over $500 million.
Yep.
I love this movie. This was, even though I know Brian Tyler worked on the fourth film, this was the first Fast film that I actively heard. This is the movie in 2011. This is where I started paying attention to the musical composer Brian Tyler. And this is where I have followed him ever since. Any film that he's ever done, any TV show, I've paid attention to see what he was going to do with it. And that guy has done a lot of music over the years. Just, I mean, he's done everything. He has and will work on. So he worked on The Expendables in 2010, which I love, which we may end up covering that at some point. He worked on Iron Man 3, which nobody really likes. I love Iron Man 3. He worked on... did he work on Furious 6? He did not work on Furious 6. Worked on Furious 7. He worked on The Fate of the Furious. He worked on XXX, Return of Xander Cage. He did the Now You See Me movies. He did the scores for those. Yeah. He did the TV score for Transformers Prime, so that's in my wheelhouse. He also did the Transformers 1 score from the animated film from last year for Transformers, so again, that's in my wheelhouse. I just love his style, and this is the movie, just the way the notes are in this movie, the way the sound is, the way the tunes flow into the story, the music that goes with that, the heist, the vault heist, it just flows so well. And my favorite line, I'll ask you what your favorite line is in a minute, but my favorite line out of this whole movie, outside of some of the stuff that Dom and Hobbs do, is Mia.
Guys, I'm hearing all this chatter. Did you just take out a bank?
When they're doing the vault chase and the safe and the vault goes through the bank. Like, that's hilarious. What was your favorite line in this one?
If you have. No, I can't pin one down. I do like the exchange between Han and the girl when they're sizing each other up while they're sitting there doing that stakeout. And he asked,
"So how long were you in the army?" "The gun you pulled the other day was a Jericho 941. I'm wrecking the slide. That was straight up inside."
He's like,
"I got out of the military probably at the same time you quit smoking. The amount of chips you eat, the way you always have to keep your hands and mouth busy, You were a Tupac a day man for sure. Unfiltered.
Yet, back and forth.
They don't know each other. Nope. And yet they called each other to a T.
Yep.
You know, her pointing out what he's doing and him talking about the gun she held, and that was just really cool. It's like,
was very cool.
Who's better than who here? First of all, you got a whole group of guys that are just
testosterone
over her. Yeah, just want to get with her. And here's Han acting cool and collect, and she gravitates towards Han.
Yep. Absolutely. And
yeah, it just, that was a great scene.
Yeah, I love those characters.
Not only did it do that, but it took your mind off of, you know, it was like a play inside a play. It was really cool how they did that. It's like, you want to know what's going on, what they're doing the thing about, but they're back and forth. That's a story just in itself. I mean, not a story, but you know, it is.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable just by itself, let alone everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
That movie can hold your attention in 15 different ways to one. Yep. That's incredible when you can watch a movie that does that.
Yep. And the thing about that is that scene, that whole scene with them, like you said, is pretty much a movie within the movie because...
Yeah.
It's just them on a mission to get his handprint. And it's a thing of, oh, well,
don't man can't, send don't a man send a, to do a woman's job.
That's right. That's right. And
I didn't think she had much of an ass, to be honest with you.
Okay, fine.
I did tell myself, I am going to talk to Mike about the girls in this movie. They were hot when they went to that meet. You know, all the girls walking around half naked. You know, and then the star, one of the stars, just is like,
she's, didn't do anything. She's hot, but she's, well.
She's beautiful in the face, yeah. But not much for a body. At least my type.
Yeah, for your
but
type.
Yeah, there's a million guys out there that have been like, oh, that's wifey material. And I agree. I can see where a lot of people would say that. But just as I'm sitting there watching the movie, my first thought was, I'm going to talk to Mike about all these girls that are at this meet and see what he thought of that whole scene. Like, did you like that part? Did it excite you? Did it do anything for you? Or were it just a movie with the girls were just acting?
Well, I mean, the thing of it is yeah, they were acting.
I'm curious how your mind thinks.
I mean, the thing of it is yeah, they were actors and they were doing their role and whatever else, and they're all fine. They all look good, but literally the girl that drops her towel, shows the bikini, goes up and literally can get a handprint on her ass, whether it's a big ass or not. That's my point, is that whole scene is a first, second, and third date for her and Han, because they literally go from first gear to fourth gear in the matter of 10 minutes. You get back to the garage and you tell everybody else how they got the handprint and where the handprint is, and everybody else is so impressed. That's a story. That's a woman I would love to have. Absolutely.
Yeah, but you're missing what I'm saying. I mean,
know what you're saying.
At the meet, there was girls that were more undressed than her.
Yeah, but that's not. It's not about that. It's not about.
It was for me.
Okay, well, it was for you. It's
beautiful women at the meet that, and the way they dress.
And I understand wow. That, and I agree. And yes, there were, but it's the one woman in the crowd of many who is going to show the confidence of walking up to a man and getting what she wants and still looking as beautiful and as hot as she is.
Yeah, but
absolutely
can do that. That's nothing.
No,
that's
not every woman. Not every woman.
Yes.
Not every
say just about women can
there
get
are,
whatever they want, Mike. That's where they're good at.
We're getting into dangerous territory here. I do not want to say
no. I think everybody
canceled.
Would agree with me.
No. what I'm saying is there are, okay.
I'm not saying anything bad.
I don't know. I'm not saying I'm just you are. Saying,
that's in their playbook, Mike.
Uh-huh.
That was born, like our DNAs, we look at butts. It's just in our DNA. For women, their DNA is get whatever they want because they can. It's simple.
All right. What else do you want to say about this movie? You didn't. Wow. I'm trying not to.
Wow.
Trying not to get canceled over here.
Who's going to cancel you?
You never know. And
for what?
You never know.
There was nothing wrong with that statement. Nothing at all.
All I'm saying is that.
Wow. I'm so let down. Know.
It's let down for what? And I want more than just the looks? Really? Seriously?
We'll go back to the playbook version of what you're doing.
No.
We'll go back to it just being
strictly
Disney.
Oh, my God. Dude, are you kidding me? Disney is more toxic than anything else.
Yeah, okay.
It is.
Okay. I meant to say is we'll go back to G-rated. That's fine.
Yeah, it's not G-rated around here. You know better than that. But yeah, no. It's like, it's about attitude.
Listeners, I tried.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he tried. Oh, boy. All right. What is next anyway? So that's a scene that is one of those scenes where, holy crap, they get back and they get the information that they need and that leads to the rest of the stuff. And I keep thinking that some of these, because folks, I have the 9-film bundle, I think, or 8-film bundle, I forget, on what I have this on Fandango. And some of them are, this was the extended cut. And I looked into seeing what the difference was between the theatrical cut and the extended cut. And I'm like, really? Really? A minute and a half and a little more blood is considered an extended cut? So the scene that was added was when they were talking about the when they were making the plan to get the safe, to how they were going to do all that. That was a minute and a half extended, and then like a little bit more blood between Dom and Hobbs fight. That's how it got an extended cut. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, they added more like a minute and a half or no, they added a 3-minute extra scene, or they added a scene at the end, or they did something a little bit more special. And I'm like, really? That's all they did? And I haven't watched this movie in years. And I'm just sitting here thinking like, holy crap, I remember everything about this. And I don't even remember what this movie is, like the theatrical cut of it. I just remember watching this version. That's all I remember. Yeah, so we get that. And literally at the end of this movie, I thought in 2011, I was like, okay, this is going to be it. Obviously, we knew that wasn't going to be it. But you look at the end of this film, no pink slips, no money, no nothing. Let's just see who the best is. Let's go. Okay, cool. Great place to leave the franchise. Because they obviously clearly got away with the money because they did the safe switch and all that. And, you know, Tej has got his garage, Roman's got his girls and whatever else. Like we said, Giselle and Han are off to Madrid first and then Tokyo eventually, kind of thing. And come down to it with Dom and Brian, it's like, let's see who really is the best. And that's how they ended this. And I'm like, okay.
They kind of do that with every.
They kind of do. Well, at least up till 7, they had to figure something else out after that, obviously, for reasons we will talk about later, unfortunately, because of Paul passing in 2015. Yeah, Furious 7 is going to be rough, folks. I can tell you that right now. Great movie. Absolutely love the movie, but 2015's a rough year. So that's going to be rough. Anything else you would like to say on this? Anything we think we missed?
No, just other than from start to finish, it was a great overall complete movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, let's see here. Would we recommend this film to people? Absolutely. Honestly, I would have people... I know you'll say have them start it with the 2001 film, and I generally would agree with that. But if I was going to try to get somebody into this that has never seen any of these, I would probably have them start with this, because this is, I think, is a good starting point without needing to have everything. But I would recommend this film to anybody who's looking for a good action movie. What about you?
Yeah, I think you have to start with the beginning, because it brings in the importance of the rest of the films about Familia and just how they all got together, and because it was so unique. So I think if you bypass the first movie, you're doing it injustice.
All right. All right. Well, we are going to rate the movie for Fast Five. 0 to 5 with half points. What are you going to give this one?
It's a full 5 for me.
Same here. I can't not give it a 5. Yeah. It really is.
I think it's one of the best of the saga.
Yep.
To date, no doubt.
Up until 7, this was my favorite.
I'm just saying, up until date, this is by far.
Yeah.
Best one.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said a moment ago, if they had ended it here, if they never did another one after this, it would have been perfectly fine of an ending.
Yeah, exactly.
Because every character got an ending here. Like, there are movies that go on, there are movie franchises that go on and on and on and do a movie every 2 to 3 years or every 4 to 5 years that keep going and going and going. And sometimes they eventually stop and characters don't get a decent ending or this ending or that. And this did it so well that it's like, it could have stopped here. I'm glad it didn't, but it could have. And yeah, 5 out of 5 all around. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break and hear some ads and some other stuff, some podcast ads and all that good stuff. And we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Who's supposed to do all this? What do you mean? Why me?
Because you got the biggest mouth.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of CheersCast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week, we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Money and freedom. You should know that.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009. This is episode 144. Any final thoughts, Sean, before I run through the closing on Fast Five, sir?
It's like going out for dinner and actually getting an awesome dessert that you aren't even counting on getting. So,
absolutely, absolutely. There you go. Very cool, very cool. Yes, folks, up next is 2013's Fast and Furious 6. So that'll be coming up next in episode 145. All right. I love Fast Five. I will always love Fast Five. Great film. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also visit shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy all of our merch. You can send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at It's Studio 2009, all one word, for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. You don't do any Twittering anymore, do you?
No.
But you're on Instagram, right?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
There you go, there you go. All right. Let's see. Speaking of Facebook, facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Why don't you give out whatever Facebook info you want to promote yourself, sir?
You can find my personal at facebook.com/ I'm old school. Or you can find the business of Coin Silver and Gold at facebook.com/ Old Schools Coin. And if all fails, you can find me at oldschoolscoins.net.
Very cool, very cool. Like I said, folks, Fast and Furious 6 is up next. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Old Schools.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon. This is your brain. This is your brain on Fast 5. Any questions?